And now a conversation with a real superhero, or at least with someone who plays one on the big screen. So here he is being introduced at the 2018 Comic-Con.
It is a huge honor for me to introduce you to the incredible Simu Liu.
That was a big moment for the Chinese-Canadian actor Simu Liu when he was introduced as Marvel's first Asian superhero, Kung Fu Master Shang-Chi. Now the young actor has a new memoir about his journey from his native China to Canadian immigrant to failed accountant to successful superhero actor. As he writes, the journey wasn't always easy. Simu often clashed with his strict, hard-working Chinese parents who put a lot of pressure on him to be successful. His new memoir is called We Were Dreamers, an immigrant superhero origin story. And Simu Liu, welcome to Here and Now. Great to have you.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much.
Well, there's a lot in this book about your parents. I want to ask you about them. They grew up in China. Sure. They came of age during Mao's Cultural Revolution. So tell us something about how they grew up and the lives they lived growing up.
My parents were born in the late 50s, early 60s. So they were teenagers at the time that the Cultural Revolution was in full effect. And so one of the main things that happened around this time was the government shuttered universities all across the country. So the path was you would go to high school and then, you know, students would go off into the fields to basically learn the value of hard labor. My dad was about 16, 17. My mom actually graduated and then went off to the fields for 2 years. There was no guarantee that they would be able to continue their education and through that education, be able to achieve upward social mobility. But then in 1976, Mao passed away, and Mao's successor immediately restored the, you know, university entrance exams and restored universities all across the country. So then, you know, my parents both managed to get offers to the same university where they would later meet and fall in love and marry, but they were competing against not only their own cohort, but 10 years worth of applicants who had been deprived of a post-secondary education.
So there must have been a lot of pent up demand there. Yeah, right.
The national acceptance rate was something like, you know, in the single digits. And it was those odds that my parents were able to overcome just to be able to get that education, which they then, you know, completed and then were working in China when another dream kind of incepted into their minds, this idea of immigrating and exploring life in a totally new environment.
So they come to Canada, they end up getting jobs as engineers. They left you behind for a while to be raised by your grandparents. You eventually joined your parents in Canada, but life wasn't easy. And I want to play a little bit more sound from your Comic-Con experience there in 2018, where you talk about your parents a little bit. Let's listen to what you said.
My parents immigrated from China to Canada 25 years ago with nothing except the hopes and dreams to build a family and to build a life for their kids. And all I've ever wanted to do growing up was to make them proud. And so basically what I'm trying to say is I'm really happy that I'm not a doctor, and so take that, mom and dad.
So you joke about it there, but as you write, Simu, you know your parents expected you to be a doctor or a scientist like them, and they put a lot of pressure on you growing up. Can you tell us what your relationship was like with your parents when you were in high school, for example? What was it like?
Their entire definition of success was so closely tied with academic achievement. And so, the path forward for me, according to them, was excelling in science and engineering or medicine or some field. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. When I went through puberty, I started to want to do other things like get a girlfriend and play sports and skip classes and all the, you know, things that dumb, rebellious kids want to do. And that just didn't sit well with my parents. And we fought constantly.
Right. There's a particularly painful scene that I want to ask you about. You described this. This is with your father. It's in the middle of the book. You're in high school and you have your first girlfriend who you've brought to the school dance. Your dad catches wind of this and is outraged that she doesn't even go to your school. He says you're a source of shame. He asks, are you even my son anymore? And he hits you repeatedly, you say. And I think this might be hard for people to understand who are listening now. How do you make sense of his reaction now?
I don't necessarily defend or justify those actions, but I think looking back and just feeling the anxiety that my parents must have felt at the time of having sacrificed and worked so hard to be able to give their son every possible opportunity. And at that point, I'd been enrolled in, you know, a private school for gifted kids, and it was a very high achieving environment. And so the reaction that came, Simu has a girlfriend that doesn't even go to this school. It was that feeling of frustration of like, what is this kid doing with everything that we've given him? Making it in the in this country was not easy for them. And I think in my parents' mind, they always operated in a scarcity and survival mindset of like, this can be taken from us and we can lose it all. The only thing that we have to rely on to keep us going is our jobs, our careers, which are propped up by our strong educational background. And so for their terribly rebellious kid to be going off and playing hooky and hooking up with girls that don't even go to the school, it was a pretty tough pill for them to swallow. And of course, you know, our relationship has changed so drastically, but I did think that it was very important for me to articulate these not great moments in our history, not to air out dirty laundry or to somehow point the finger at them and say, see, look at all that you did, but really as a means of connecting to other families and children that are going through those same pains and struggles as intergenerational and intercultural families, and finding some sort of a point of connection.
Well, you mentioned that the relationship is better now. What is your relationship like with your parents right now?
Well, for starters, I'm in an apartment in London right now. My parents have been visiting me all week, so they're in the bedroom about 5 feet away from me, trying to keep quiet so that I can do this interview. And they're my biggest fans. My father's recently retired, so he basically spends all day searching up everything I do on social media and every single news article that ever mentions me. And as frustrating and as crazy as that drives me, you know, we've really become quite close. And when I first came to them with this idea of telling our story, not only my personal story, but the story of our entire family, they kind of balked at it, not out of some fear of being ostracized, but out of just this it was so incredulous to them that they had lived a memoir worthy life. And to me, you know, part of the joy in writing this book was getting to share their extraordinary journey with the world, one that they would not themselves think of as notable in any which way. But for me, I feel like the odds that they were able to overcome are easily as crazy and as ridiculous, if not more so, than of me getting this role of a lifetime.
Well, it's an incredible story on many levels. Sticking with this example that your parents set, though, you write extensively about how important it was for you to please them. You even tried to become an accountant to please them. Mm. How did that go?
It did not go very well. I lasted about 8 just grueling, horribly torturous months before I was finally put out of my misery, and for very good reason. I was, by all accounts, a terrible employee. But out of the rubble of that, and obviously it was devastating when it happened, especially looking at all the time and money my parents had invested in me. But you know, being able to pivot from that, looking back now, getting laid off was truly a gift. I thought, hey, why not audition for some things? I'd always been interested in it. It was really just the beginning of that tiny snowball that eventually became, you know, this, whatever this is.
Right. This big thing that is now. I want to ask you a little bit about your early career, because it sounds as though to get work, you had to be willing to accept several roles that played on Asian stereotypes. And you write about this in the book, and I'm thinking about the movie Bike Cop Begins, right? You played Yakuza Koto, the leader of a trio of Japanese mobsters.
Yes.
So they get the Chinese guy to play the Japanese mobster. And I'm just wondering sort of how tough that was for you.
Looking back and even reliving some of those projects that I was a part of, I mean, I just want to reach back and slap my younger self in the face. You know, I think it just goes to show you just how limited we were in our opportunities at the time, that I was willing to do it. Because guess what? All of the representation that I saw on screen was basically effectively the same thing. They were stereotypes and caricatures. And when I look back, obviously those roles weren't ideal, but they also, in a way, got my foot in the door.
Right. What do you want readers to take away? What do you want them most to take away from your story?
The best way I can articulate it is, you know, sometimes in life when we're walking down the street, we're on our way to work, or we're in the we're in the grocery line and we see somebody, we deal with somebody who speaks English with a bit of an accent, and we kind of remove ourselves and we say, those people aren't a part of our society. They're just visiting. We minimize them in a way. And what I hope to do with this book is to just shed a light on people like my parents who, by the way, do speak fantastic English. You know, they just happen to have an accent. And the reason why they have that accent is because they've lived an extraordinary life. Each and every person that we see on the streets in Canada and America that don't speak English as their native language, each one of those people has an equally incredible story of how they got here. And sometimes I think we forget that. Even growing up, observing the way that my parents were treated, it was a lot of impatience and indifference. And I just hope that we can humanize those stories. And especially because my parents are the first to minimize themselves and to say, no, please, you know, they want nothing more than to make themselves small and invisible. But, for me, I just think there's such tremendous value, not only for Asian Americans, for everyone, to really read their story and the story of our family of dreamers and to understand that, you know, we exist as well and we matter.
Well, that's actor Simu Liu. His new memoir is We Were Dreamers, an Immigrant Superhero Origin Story. Simu Liu, thank you so much. It was a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you.